Collected Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Yo, yo, peace family. We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is your girl, Raiju.
Hotepa, Bobby Ghani, Assalamu Alaikum. This is Brother Montoya, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We are back in the building. Here at Collective Minds, we say we ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. So, family, this is our monthly open discussion. So you can call us up, share what's on your mind, what's been going on. We want to holler at the family. Give us a call. Collective Minds is not a spectator sport. The number is 929-477-1697. So, yes, indeed. Before we get started, as always, Queen Raiju and my brother Mufasa, how was y'all week, and do y'all have any announcements for the fam?
Had a great week. A few detours, but that don't matter. You know, it was still all good. Everything is a learning lesson, a learning experience. And I wanna,
that's right.
No announcements. I do want to encourage everybody to not live in fear or doubt or anything like that. If you want to do something, do it. You know, we got one life. Just always think positive. Sometimes you may not have all the answers. Don't let that stop you. You know, don't let fear stop you. Don't let doubt stop you. You know, just go ahead and do it, you know, and just think positive. So I just want to encourage everybody to not live in fear or doubt.
Yes, indeed. That's some good words of encouragement coming from Queen Raiju, because that fear is the biggest obstacle. Now, everybody has fear, but it's what you do with that fear. Either you keep going or you don't. And the people who win out here, when they face fear, they keep going. Do y'all know, speaking of fear, I listen to Mike Tyson podcast all the time, and he says every time before he went in that ring, he was fearful. He was like a little kid just shaking in his boots. But you would never know by looking at Mike Tyson. This is one of the greatest world champs ever in history. You know what I'm saying? And he himself, out of his own mouth, said he used to be so scared when he was entering that ring. And Teddy Atlas was one of his trainers. He also said that every boxer, in order to be a great boxer, you have to have fear going into the ring. But what separates the weak from the great ones is they face that fear and they overcome it. You dig what I'm saying? So just remember, if you got fear, fear is false expectations appearing real. That's F-E-A-R, fear, false expectations appearing real. So once you go through it, you realize that it wasn't nothing in the first place, and you just got to overcome it.
Exactly.
Right on, Raiju. And Brother Mufasa, how was your week, my brother? And do you got any announcements for us?
Hey, week was very busy, very productive. But all is well, as you know, hey, as a FOI, that's what we do. We post the fight, we take it to the fight. So it's all good for me. No major announcements today. You know, I guess looking forward to a good conversation with my co-host. And let's get it in.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I don't have any major announcements. You know, it's October, what's the date? The 27th, October 27th, 2019. And we coming to the end of October. So that means we have two more months left in the year, y'all. Can y'all believe how fast this year has went by? I mean,
oh, yeah, you know, time is ramping up, man. You know,
oh, my God.
You know, Trump stated this is the, you know, that we're in the last days. We've been saying it for a long time, but either it's true to that and the time is ratcheting up, or maybe because we just getting older and it's moving fast.
Yeah, one of the two. Yeah, one of the two. But, I mean, this year has flown by. We about to be in the year 2020, and I just remember, you know, thinking back as a little kid, and, you know, Queen Roger could bear witness watching the Jeffersons, and I mean, not the Jeffersons, but the Jetsons, right? So I'm kind of showing my age for those that might not know what the Jetsons is, but it was a cartoon about the future. And just thinking back, like, I could not even imagine, you know, what it would be like in 2020. But here we are, you know what I'm saying, and God willing, we can make it to see 2020, but it's just amazing that, you know, we've come so far in this lifetime. We've seen so much. You know, remember, we come from a generation that's seen dial-up phone, house phones, even some rotary phones. We've seen black and white TV. We've seen 8-tracks to cassette tapes to CDs to MP3s to iPods to iPad. Like, we done seen pretty much the whole gambit, VCR tapes to DVDs to Blu-ray to now everything streaming. You dig what I'm saying? So it's a blessing, and to be able to live through this particular time, because we are living in some great times. And I predict, you know, for 2020, we gonna see, you know, a lot of amazing things as far as, you know, things that go on in the world. So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there. So we're going to get started with the show, y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. This is an open discussion. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. I guess we can start right here, even though I don't even want to start right here. But since we are, you know, we part of the new media, we have to discuss y'all man's Tank comments. Singer Tank made some comments on Angela Yee's podcast that she has that were pretty controversial this week, and a lot of people have been kind of going in on Tank. He did a few interviews after that trying to explain his comments. And just the gist of it, if you haven't heard, basically this man said that if you how do I say this without being too vulgar? Yeah. I mean, he said basically if a man sucks two penises, meaning has oral sex with another man twice, that doesn't mean he's gay. Now, I'm so sick of these LGBT conversations. I went in the last couple of weeks, and I'm really tired and drained. So, you know, I get, you know, Queen Raiju and Mufasa, what do y'all think about these comments that this man said? If a man sucks a penis twice, two times, the first time to see if he liked it, the second time he wasn't sure, so he does it again, that doesn't mean he's gay. What do y'all think about Tank comments?
Well, so does the man think it.
Exactly.
So is a man thinking. If you just think about it, you know,
man.
I'm already is willing to put you in that category.
Yes.
You know, especially if you're thinking about it in the context where you are interested in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, that's what I said. If you just get up to the door, if you get up to the point where you're thinking about it and change your mind, you're still gay, bro. Just face it.
Yeah, maybe some Tank might as well just come on out the closet and
I mean, for
you
real.
Know, let us know how he really feeling, what's really on his mind, what he been through. Just go ahead and come out.
But, you know, seeing that Hollywood, so much freaky behavior go on, it becomes the norm with them. That type of thing.
I've
a lot
already
of them
heard
are
years ago that
around.
He was. It's on what the thing is, within that community, it's already rumored that he is. I heard that years ago from a very reliable source. I won't even say any names, but, yeah.
Yeah, not surprised. You know what I'm saying? Not surprised. But it's just
what's surprising is that he don't believe his actions make him, you know, gay.
Right.
You know, that's the thing, you know.
Maybe just come out. He's a trisexual. What about that? Do we call him a trisexual?
If you try anything other than a woman, yeah, you get it. So, you know, he could just come out and say he's gay. Like, this is not, like, nobody cares. Nobody's going to bash you, brother. Just come out and say that you gay and you attracted to men. Like, and just leave it at that.
He
but don't try to make
records.
These slick comments.
He
might
say more
records. Now, he performed at the Gay Pride concert back in the day. So now let me ask the brother. I can ask both of y'all, but it's really geared towards Brother Mufasa. If you were, let's just say you're an R&B singer, is there a limit to where you perform? Would you perform at a pride parade, my brother?
Me?
If you was an R&B singer, you sing it to the, you know, to the ladies, and they wanted you to sing at a pride parade, is there a limit or would you go get that check?
No, I'm not singing there. They're going to not pretty know what time it is. I mean, they're going to know who my audience is, who I sing to, who I'm for. And, you know, all money ain't good money. So some money I just have to miss out on. If it's something that I don't agree with. Now, I'm not going to bash the people of that community. I'm just saying that's not my preference. So, no, why would I come to and sing at some place like that as a straight man? No.
Exactly.
No way.
Right.
I got to stay in my lane. I know how to stay in my lane.
Thank you. Queen Raja, same question to you. Hypothetically, you're an R&B singer, and, you know, the Gay Pride had a check for you waiting. Come sing at our parade. You know, would you go do that?
I put it like this. Same question and same answer.
Exactly. So now, because the reason why I asked that, because Tank, his thing was, I'm a singer. You know, they wrote me a check, so I just went to go sing that. No, bruh, when you do certain events, you align yourself, you know, with either the politics of that community or, you know, you down with it. So I'm with y'all on that. Me, as a straight man, if I was an R&B singer, no, there's nothing against the gay community, like Brother Mufasa said, but all money, not good money. I'm going to just respectfully decline. You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to sing. You know what I'm saying? That's just period.
Yeah.
So for him to not just come out and say he's gay, like, come on, bro. Just, you know, just own up to it. You dig? So, you know, we had to touch on it, but I'm kind of sick of it. And when you make a comment, this is my conclusion I didn't came to. If you're not gay, you homophobic. That's what I'm seeing out here. Like, if you straight and heterosexual, you're homophobic. That's how they try to make it seem. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
I don't know. You know,
seem like before long, it's like we
it is what it is.
Private. You know, we've said this in private that the day may come where, you know, being a person who's attracted to the same sex, you'll be an outsider, an outcast. People going to be looking at you like there's something wrong with you.
Yeah,
that could be very well something that comes into play, you know, a few years from now.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, stay tuned for that, family. Like I say, the assault is on. We'll see what happened between now and next week if we got to address something LGBTQ LMNOP related next week. You know what I'm saying? Because they've been hitting us back to back these past few weeks. So we'll see if the agenda, as I call it, continues next week.
What's up?
So, yeah, if some of y'all want to bring up, you know, I got a list of things that we can talk about, and then we can get to the call line. But if y'all want to bring up some, yeah, let's go, bro.
It was one thing that was on my mind, and I read this in the Final Call newspaper, the newest edition, but I had been thinking about it beforehand and wanted to talk to y'all some more about it, and that was with the Chicago teacher strike.
Right.
You know, I was reading in the Final Call, and I read this a short paragraph. I'll read it to you guys. A call for public school teachers to return to work didn't yield results for Mayor Lori Lightfoot, and some 300,000 students were out of school. That was as of October 22nd, as the battle for a new contract continued. The mayor said progress had been made, but the Chicago Teachers Union, hopeful the strike would end soon, held its ground as negotiations continued. At Final Call press time, students had missed 4 days of school. Among demands for teachers are a pay increase, smaller classes, and more support personnel like librarians, nurses, and counselors. They have also asked for things like more support for affordable housing during their negotiations. I mean, everything I read there does not sound unfair. The average public school teacher salary in Chicago is $60,000 as of September 26, 2019. So what do you guys feel about that? You know, to me, when it comes to teachers, teachers should make as much as a doctor or a lawyer.
Yeah.
These are ones that are teaching our leaders. They're teaching the future.
Yeah.
That sounds, when I'm just listening to the demands asking for simple things like nurses and librarians, that is ridiculous. That's like black people asking for fairness and equality. It's like, what? Why do you have to ask for those types of things? That should be automatic. I mean, why doesn't the school have a librarian, a nurse? That's like, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think it would be automatic. And it's shameful that it's not. You know, they want to try to throw things up like, well, we have to make budget because our budget can't handle that. But these are things, like you say, that should be automatic. That's a necessity. You
right.
know, who suffers?
Exactly. Who suffers? Children. The kids. Yep. So it's really disgraceful, man, when you think about it. It's disgraceful. The list of demands that you read are not unreasonable for these teachers who are teaching the future. You know what I'm saying? It should be a no-brainer to give them what they need. Now, Chicago is the second or third largest city, also the second or third largest, I think the third largest school district. There are, you know, thousands of kids that are affected by this. And then you got parents that are affected because you got to find somebody, you know, to watch your kids because the school district includes elementary, you know what I'm saying, elementary all the way up to high school. So you got to make arrangements to have somebody watch your kids while you're able to go to work. So it puts a strain on everyone that and the kids are affected the most that these adults cannot come to an agreement. And like I said, it's disgraceful.
I'm just repeating that number to you again. Some 300,000 students were out of school.
Right. So if we look at Chicago, like what I would love to see their budget and where things are going. I'm sure there are areas where you can cut to make up the money to get these teachers what they need. But you got, you know, I'm sure now Chicago has been known as a corrupt city when it comes to politics, you know, allegedly from what I've heard over the years. Now, you could have some politicians padding their pockets. You know, it could just be a lot of things that's going on to where funds are not being allocated right and not being accounted for. But for you to neglect your school system, I mean, it's disgraceful, and it kind of shows where the public school systems are going in this country. The teachers are underpaid. You know, they don't have enough supplies. They don't have the materials they need to actually, you know, conduct educational business. So it's like, it's disgraceful, man. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad, and it kind of shows the direction that our society is heading when you can't, when the teachers go on strike and the children are affected. You know what I'm saying?
One of our listeners had texted me saying, you know, where are they going to get the money at? No one wants their taxes raised either. $60,000 is a lot for a teacher. Also, he said more money, smaller classes means more teachers and more classrooms means more construction, which means more taxes is needed. Well, in a situation like that, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. If we can find money for roads, bridges, construction, police officers, if you can get the money for that, like we said, the children should be just as important, if not more important, than those things. That's the future of your city. So whatever
exactly
it takes to get the money, and reading off those other demands, like we said earlier, librarians, nurses, and counselors, these are things that are needed in a school district. So you have to do whatever it takes.
That's part of the school system. I mean, that's like a part of it. It's like, and besides that, I just think it's important too. And we touched base on this, I think, the last show or the show before last. I mean, if all these people that want to lay down and do the do and have babies, you got to think that at some point, if we reproducing at a high rate, which I believe we are, and the babies have to go to schools, if nobody caring about safe sex, then they just want to go ahead out here and do their thing and have all these babies and multiply, then the schools have to be put in the budget. Because the kids, you're birthing the babies that have to go to school. So where this going to come from, where that's going to come from, people don't want their taxes raised. Well, they should have thought about that when before they laid down and said that's how it is. So forget it. Just do what needs to be done. Just do the right thing.
Pay up.
Yeah, just pay up.
Pay
yeah,
up.
I'll say right. Just pay up. I mean, that budget, there's money in that budget. I'm sure they, you know, got expenditures. They could be close to bankrupt, but, I mean, that's the whole American system. You know what I'm saying? America's budget and deficit is huge. So that goes to, you know, cities' budgets and city deficits are huge. So we find money for everything else, but yet when it comes to the babies, we can't find the money. And on top of that, it sends a message to the kids that the adults or the politicians, people in control, don't really care about them. You know what I'm saying? It sends that subconscious message to the kids that, hey, we don't really care about educating y'all. You know what I'm saying? We can't even come to an agreement on some what I would say, trivial details. You know what I'm saying? They can't even come to agreement on that. So it sends the wrong message to the kids, and everybody suffers at the end of the day. You dig? So.
Was anything particular on your mind, Roger?
Huh?
Was anything in particular on your mind? Because you heard Brother Kev, he got a list.
Well, I was just going to add to this message that it's in. Because it also plays into the role into wanting to do entertainment. Okay, you don't want to give these kids books in the librarian and a nurse for peace sake, but you can go pay a singer $10 million or $100, you know, all this ridiculous amount of money to go sing or to go dribble a ball, but you don't want to get this student money for books and to get education. So it's like, okay, the society is like, okay, the education is not as important. This is, you know, I think it drives them to the entertainment part or to try to do other things where they see they get more money because there's no value in the school. They're not putting air conditioners in the schools. The schools look a mess. The lights are just
right.
You know, they don't care about the environment in which the kids are going to school. They're not making sure that they are vibrating at a higher level mentally because the environment is doomed, meaning to me it's dim. Brighten the schools up.
Right.
You know, the schools look more exciting where a person's energy level is up higher when they go to school so that they can learn. You know, so
right, right.
They don't, the society don't even want to put money and figure out ways to put money. And it's not even a figure out, it's just doing it. The money is here.
The money is
the money
here.
Is,
period. Period.
Just do it.
Yeah, the money's here. I mean, have you ever thought about, like, you know, you be driving down the street, especially in our area, we in the St. Louis area, you see buildings and condos put up. I'm talking about state-of-the-art buildings. You see these things put up in a matter of months. But yet we got schools that was built in the 60s and 70s, brick schools, no air conditioning, like Roger said. And yet they can't build a state-of-the-art school. Now, we do have some schools that will be considered state-of-the-art, but they're very few in between, especially when we talk about the public schools. Now, if you go out to the suburbs, of course, you can find those type of schools, but it's like the schools within the urban areas or the city limits, and I'm sure it's the same for most parts of Chicago. These schools are not, you know, up to date, and we build Walmarts and Family Dollars. We throw these things up in months. You know what I'm saying? We throw these apartment buildings and condos, and we put these things up in months, but we can't build these schools. And we got the, you know, these schools from the that's 50 and 60 years old. So it's
a lot that goes into play, and it's a lot
that goes into play.
Corruption, like you said earlier, is into play. A lot of things that the parents need to be doing, yeah, that comes into play. It's a lot. It is. This is a complicated problem, but it's a problem that should be at the forefront and needs to be addressed, like, you know, vigorously.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, all right. If you're just joining this family, this is Collective Minds Radio. I'm Brother Kev. I got my brother Mufasa and Queen Raju. And we have an open discussion this week. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Queen Raju, did you have some?
It is what it is.
Well, I just have a brief question. And it's about a local situation. I don't know. This could, story could have went national, about the young lady who her kids were killed in a fire. Did anybody get an update on that story?
No, break it down in case somebody ain't heard about it.
Okay, it was a young lady here in St. Louis, Missouri. I believe she may have been 23 years old, and she left her three children home alone. And they were anybody know their age? I think the youngest one was just maybe like 3 or 4 months, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think it was,
and the oldest,
I believe it was 5, 4, and 6 months, I think. I think it was 5, 4, and 6 months.
Okay, and that's pretty close, if not accurate. So she, I believe, ran to the store or went somewhere. She left them home alone. The apartment burned down, and all three of her kids died. They locked her up, and then she had her family members advocating for her release and saying that she loved her kids and, you know, no one, you know, if you're not walking in their shoes, don't judge. She was a good mother. Things happen. And so I was just wondering, have anybody have an update on that situation? Because I was told that they let her out, but I wasn't sure. I was wondering, did you guys hear anything about that?
I didn't. Mufasa, I haven't. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it.
But
I'm not
sure. You know, just to double with it, though, you know, we talked about this in private, but I would love to hear also from the callers, as well as y'all, if you wanted to answer again, too, but what should be done in a situation like that? Should the mother, do you know, call us, co-host? Do y'all feel the mother should do jail time over this? Do you feel, you know, she's already lost enough, losing her kids?
children. You know, I'm interested in what y'all think about that also. What should her punishment be, if any?
Queen Ryder, I'll let you go.
Well, you know, right now I do think that she should get some jail time. You know, how much is debatable right now for me, but I do think she should get jail time because it was her negligence. You know, that's the reason that the kids are, you know, they burned. And then you don't want to send a message to other children, I mean other people and other parents that this is okay. As long as I even just seem like I'm sorry and sad that my kids have passed away, then I can escape, you know, jail time. I think she should go to jail.
Yeah, I'm still kind of.
There's a horror. She lost a lot.
Right.
But, I mean, she did it to herself, too, you know. So.
Right. Yeah, I kind of on the fence as far as should she do any jail time. I think she should definitely be held liable. You know, she was definitely negligent. But I like to look at things at a case by case basis. So, you know, depending on how remorseful she is and what are the exact circumstances surrounding why she left. You know what I'm saying? What are the exact circumstances? Just get a full understanding of the entire story before I would say she should be punished or she should go to jail. Again, I feel like she's lost a lot, so that's one thing I would take into consideration, and how remorseful she is. You know, but I'm kind of on the fence as far as the jail time.
But what does Ben? What does being liable look like then?
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's for me, it could be some fines. It could be some
service.
Type of community service. Yeah, it could be some type of community service. Some different type of programs or something to where she can, you know. Not punitive damages, but some type of community service where she can kind of work that off, you know. And that's just on the surface based on what I heard, yeah, so far.
Because if they can prove, you know, as long as it wasn't, you know, something she intentionally did, you know, because they haven't been proven yet. If it was purely an accident, even some type of community service may be beneficial to her. You know, it can help out, you know, in the long run. Something dealing with helping some children out, you know, something along those lines. But
right.
We definitely, either way, if she did it intentionally, you already know she needs jail time. But let's say an accident. If it was an accident, you just like Roger said, you are still, it's your fault. Somebody has to advocate for those children's lives. So, and as the adult, their lives were in your hands, so you are held responsible. So you have to face some type of punishment. You know that's
well,
a big loss.
Well, their lives
wasn't
in her hands because she left them, though. Their lives wasn't in her hands, but she left them.
That's what I'm saying. If she hadn't left them, that's what I'm saying. Their lives were in her hands because if she had stayed there, them kids, you would hope they would still be there. That wouldn't have happened. But because she was negligent, she has to pay for that.
Right.
She has to pay for
that.
Yeah.
She's the adult.
Yeah, because I think, like, say, had she been there, because even her being there still, we never know. They all could have died, or they still could have died, you know, even if her being there. And her being there, then their life is in her hands. But she left them. She abandoned them, in my opinion, because she left them. And at that young age, that small baby that was just not even 1 year old, I don't understand. I mean, you don't even want to take the risk. It's like the love for your kids should prevent you from even taking the risk of leaving them alone.
Yeah. I just wanted to say this real quick, Brother Kev, because you that reminded me of something when I was out today distributing the final call. And I had just left. I got done. I packed everything up, left,
And I got in my car, and as I was leaving, I got back right in the traffic where I had just left it and looked over, and I saw, you know, someone driving in the passenger seat. It was a little girl, looked like she may have been about three or four years old, sitting on the passenger's lap, just sitting and laying on the dash and everything else. And I'm like, man, had I been standing there when they pulled up, I would have had to say, look, why do y'all don't have this child in the back seat in the seat strapped down? Do you know that someone could hit you? I mean, you just can't say that, hey, I'm driving, I got this. You don't know what someone else out here could do. So it's just negligence. Exactly. Like, you don't think that something could happen, an accident could happen. You have to be responsible for these children's lives. I mean, I don't know what would be going on in people's minds when they be so carefree with their children or with children, period.
You just said it.
It's predictable.
You just said what goes on in their mind. They don't think it can happen to them. They're not thinking that it will happen and that it happens. You know, it's just you think it always happened to someone else. So that's what's going on in their mind.
There
you know,
is.
And I know
we've
all done things, you know, that we probably like, ooh, it was just by the grace of God that, you know, everything worked out. You know, but certain things you just, like we talked about before, it's like, where is the limit? You know, it's like leaving kids alone can be a little, you know, that age, because even if it wasn't a fire, kids that age, they still choke, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They can still choke on something, get a hold of something, you know. It's just too much of a risk. So, but yeah,
right,
I just
right.
wanted to see if y'all heard any updates about that. But oh,
all right, yes, indeed.
I do want to ask something too. Did you guys hear about what Trump said about the young man? I wanted to give Sessie Mufasa a pen about Trump's response to the leader of ISIS that passed, that they say he killed himself and his three sons. Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah, they always say that.
Trump's remark.
I think something wrong about him being he was cowardly, begging for his life.
Yeah, he died like a coward and all that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they always say that. Trump don't know. He wasn't there. One of his generals could have reported that to him and said that to him, but we don't know how that man went out. I sincerely doubt that's how he went out.
I'm saying with Trump's comment to it, though, whether it actually happened like that or not, just the fact that he would get on there, like, you don't, what did you think about that? Nothing much?
Not really, because I know he's just, you know, he's siding with the people, who want to hear that. I mean, think about it. We are at war with them, so that's your enemy. So, you know, some people like to hear talk like that. You know, I get it. It's no big deal to me. You know, I get it. I understand. It don't bother me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it don't bother me either. But I think, like Mufasa said, I think he just playing up to his base. It's just some talk, you know what I'm saying? Some tough talk to kind of build morale and thinking, you know, get folks to thinking we winning or we, you know, close to winning these wars and things like that. But, yeah, I wouldn't read too deep into that no more than just talk, you know what I'm saying?
Tough talk.
He's just trying to play his base. Yeah, tough talk to play this base and, you know, get the impression that we on top of the quote-unquote terrorists, as they say, you know. So, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you say the guy supposedly blew himself up while the U.S. troops was closing in or something like that. You know. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Let's see what these callers got to say, y'all.
Yes, indeed. Let's see who's up with the callers, y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. This is an open discussion. End of the month open discussion. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. You can give us a call and let us know what's on your mind. This is Collective Minds Radio.
Okay. Area code 319. 972. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, as far as the lady whose kids burnt up, she needs to be charged with child neglect.
Right.
She needs to at least be charged with something. Because
right.
Just reminded me of the times that me and my siblings at that age were left alone. And surprisingly, nothing ever happened to us. But, and then I don't know what's going on with the school systems but in Illinois and everywhere else, but I know Iowa be on their schools. They just updated all the schools in Burlington.
Oh, okay,
wow,
okay. Yeah.
And so.
Okay, now I would
I
say,
say.
No,
no complaints.
Right, no complaints on that one, but I would say because Iowa has a small black population. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I hate to put Puerto Rican card in there, but
no,
I would say that's part of the
reason.
No,
Iowa's just big on education. Iowa is ranked very high in education wise. So.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
In Iowa, in the school district, just as Brother Kev put it out there, is it what you think the percentage is of minority kids in that school system, particularly black?
There's a lot more mixed kids than there is any other one, so it's
okay.
About the same.
Okay.
So,
the schools
are divided up in school zones, so it's. So it's whether you rich or not, your kid goes to this school. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. No doubt, no doubt.
Unless
all right, well,
your kid is Catholic.
Right.
But.
Yes, indeed. All right. We appreciate the call, caller. Y'all want to get another caller?
Okay, Eric.
What's up?
381, call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or comment.
Man, these teachers are ripping these kids off.
Mm. Oh, what's up, Colin? Elaborate for us. Break it down.
Well, when you look at the toll package,
mm-hmm.
You're just looking at salary. Look at the toll
my life
package.
Insurance.
With a total package of $26,000 plus on top of their $60,000 a year salary. And it depends if you got a bachelor's degree. Bachelor's degree can be in anything. Can be in black history. Can be in poetry.
Right.
And if that's the case, then why come it's not showing up in the data? In the test scores?
Well,
that's how you measure. That's how you measure and see whether or not students are making any headway and leeway. So no, it's terrible. Look at the Baltimore schools where you had 3,840, 3,000, some over 3,000 students take the math exam in Baltimore public schools, and only 14 had a proficient score.
That's terrible.
Well, one of the things that they were saying was like they wanted smaller classes, you know, and they could play a part in. This is one thing. That's something they could play a part in them not being able to teach these children accordingly. Because I know I've been in classes. I can just think back on my time of being in school, classes that are oversized, and you know we clowning. The teacher can't keep up with all what's going on, and that's one of the things they was asking for was smaller classes.
Man, look, this has been a problem forever and a day. I used to go over to Roosevelt and visit Amir Ali's classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, he used to have a classroom with about 12 kids and two teachers, teachers' assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's,
the schools
that's
are,
ideal.
And the schools are new. I built the following schools in the St. Louis Public School District: Vashon, Gateway
right,
on Jefferson, Humboldt,
yep,
Investigated Learning over there on Oakland, Hodges, work on the old O'Fallon High School and McKinley High School. In Normandy, we done Lucas and Hunt Crossing. In Berkeley, we done Berkeley Mill behind Forest Park, Forest Wood Park there on North Florissant and Chambers, I guess it is, Airport Road. Done Pattonville School out there at the old St. Anne Driveway on St. Charles Rock Road. Done work on SIU Edwardsville. Them buildings are, it's nothing wrong with those buildings. Those are new buildings. And, you know, you was making reference to talking about you seeing all this construction. That's private construction. That ain't the responsibility of private people to build a school. That's the responsibility of that school district and the people that live in that school district.
Right. This is true. Now, I was just saying, but when I'm talking, I'm just looking at the totality of the society, meaning the money's there to build.
Oh, I can tell you what's going on with the money. See, here's the thing. We have a conversation on a problem 1 week, then you put that problem on the shelf. But in the city of St. Louis, where you got nearly 50% or over 50% of the city's budget is going toward public safety, which include policing, where your money is going.
So I'm assuming you're saying it's the same thing that's going on in Chicago as well.
Oh, it's worse in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they got $300,000 in their school district.
Right. Now I'm glad you brought that up, caller, because I wanted to put this out there, too. This was on my list. Now, we're looking at the total homicides, because we've been keeping track on this show of the total homicides within St. Louis City. And now, y'all might be surprised, but as of October 25th, which would have been Friday, right, as of October 25th, the city of St. Louis has 164 homicides. Now, that's not including St. Louis County, so I just want to put that out there. We're strictly talking about St. Louis City, and this is according to the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department website. 164 murders. So it looks like we may be under 200 murders or homicides for the city by the end of the year, because looking at this, we would need 20 more murders in November and 20 in December.
Well, you know why the numbers are going down?
I'm listening.
Because there ain't nobody else to shoot.
Yeah,
I mean, dang. The population of the city is decreasing. It is decreasing. But I wanted to point this out too, though. My thing is, if a major part of the city's budget is going towards
policing,
there's 120 open cases that have been unsolved. Well, they're open cases up to this point. So we're talking about 120 open cases out of 164 murders. So my thing is, what are they doing if they're not solving these homicides?
Well,
what is going on?
You don't have enough people to keep. If you had 1 weekend, you had 46 people shot, and I don't know how many of them died. Hey, you don't have enough people to keep up with all this stuff. Luckily that there's no statute of limitation on murder, but you don't have enough people to keep up with it. People don't talk and things like that along those lines. So, no.
Right,
that's why I come out for school choice, where parents should be able to take their child out of them school situations and put them where they want to, and the money follow the child. Give parents that option. I'm going to tell you something. Black kids is suffering when it comes down to education, especially in these traditional cities.
Yes, indeed.
Your kids cannot compete hardly with anybody. I'm sorry, they can't. That is a shame. It don't get no worse than that.
Agreed.
And you in East Saint, these teachers in Chicago were just on strike here within the time when Obama was president.
Yeah, they was on strike. I think we talked about that. That was, I want to say, 2015, maybe 16. They was on strike again.
Look at the East St. Louis School District strike.
Yeah, they were
on strike for about 13 weeks or something like that. What is that doing to a child in their last year? That's totally ridiculous.
Exactly.
And I don't know what to say to do with it, but I can say this. I say they should have, like this president proposes, school choice, and he made specifically in his address to Congress the first time when he was in 2017 that African-American students would benefit from this. Because right now your child is locked in the environment where they are. Now, don't get me wrong. Some children just not teachable with what you're trying to teach them. But you do have some parents. You have parents out there that's functional. They got a functional parents. They got a functional family. And they are trying to carry their child further toward a destination. And they should be allowed to put that child in an environment where they're going to be challenged and they're not going to be bored. It's safe. And so, so let them take the child out. Suppose that they want this child to be a doctor. Well, starting off in the sixth grade, they should be able to go to schools that's going to acclimate them toward that profession. I went to O'Fallon Tech High School. You know O'Fallon had pre-med in high school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, look, now so this is also something. Go ahead, my brother.
No, I was just going to say, if that's something that happens, so is it the parents' responsibility to take them to these schools, or would the city have to fund the transportation?
No, the parents would have the choice to put their child where they are. If they want to leave them in a public school, there's some good programs in public schools, but they may want to take them out and put them someplace else to prepare them early. You're talking about kids come out of high school and go to junior college. Well, they can be you can be taking those things in high school. You could have specialized schools. There are specialized schools across. Matter of fact, you know, they got specialized schools in basketball in New York, high school, in baseball in Florida, where you have academic studies. Then for a certain part of the day, like shop time in other schools, they be practicing baseball.
Right, right. So then, now that's going to be my point, because now we're going to have our educational system catch up with the technology. And by that I mean the model of education that we see today is not going to be sustainable
for the future.
Because look,
you're absolutely right.
Think about this. When your kids are in school, they can Google any text question, right? What does that do for education? And when you can Google the test question, you don't have to go to the library, you don't have to necessarily read a book. You can Google these things at this point. So what is it worth? What are you teaching these kids when you can go online and find the answers to a lot of these questions? So we're going to have to update the entire educational model that we have up to this point.
Well, they have some schools where they're going to have robots that's going to stand there and teach the class. And some of these schools in the hood.
From video. Yeah,
some of these schools in the hood, they've been on turn the damn robot upside down. But
exactly.
I'm just joking.
No, you said, but that was
laughing
what would happen.
Serious.
Yeah, laughing but serious. For real.
But you know, here's another thing. They got what's called flip classrooms in college. My grandson is attending Louisiana State, and some of his classroom, they go online and listen to the teacher. The professor do his lecture at their convenience. Then when they come back to the classroom, they respond to how they retain the knowledge and so on and so on and so on. So that's another what's going on.
That's what's going
on,
exactly. And that's an effort to keep up with the technology and the changing times. But if the public schools are not getting on board and we're not keeping these kids' attention, we're really doing them a disservice.
Them teachers unions are totally crazy. You remember Betty Thomas, don't you? U City State Rep, Democrat too. She wanted to have a scholarship, thing, where businesses wanted to support our students in the Wellston School District. They wanted to pay for them to go to another school, but they wanted to be able to deduct it as a charitable gift. Betty Thomas sponsored the bill. These other Democrats, Marie Chappelle Nadal, and some others, I think Rodney Hubbard was for it, and some others. But the Democrats are the ones that don't want that because of the teachers' unions. They want to keep them children in those classrooms. Whether they learn or not, those teachers get paid.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's
and you can't say it's
part.
Not you can't say it's not effective when you look at the number of African Americans that's in these subjects. You hardly have none in the sciences at the PhD level. Engineers make up about 4% of the engineers in the United States are black. When you look at the doctors, yeah. When you look at the mechanical engineers, you look at those in those type of fields. We cannot continue to let that be. You should at least number what your percentage is in the overall population. And if you right. only a third of that, something is
We're
wrong.
We're getting deep now.
Anyway, I'm going to let you guys go on.
Yeah, you're
yes,
going
indeed.
Deep now.
We appreciate you, Colin. Yes, indeed, we appreciate you. But, I mean, while we on education, family, now this is real crucial because black Americans, black foundational Americans, we are really at a crossroads when it comes to education. Like the caller just said, you know, a lot of our kids are not competing in these particular areas. So we are really at danger because a lot of the jobs here in the future are going to be eliminated, either by automation, AI technology, and so on and so forth. A lot of jobs are not going to even be around. And who's going to suffer? The people with the least amount of education. So, you know, like I say, black people are in a crossroads to where, you know, we can either be the permanent working class, the permanent service class, meaning we have service jobs and menial jobs like that, or we can be builders and engineers and create our own innovation and industries. You dig what I'm saying? But we are really at a crucial point in time in history, basically at a crossroads to where if we don't figure out something as far as educating our kids and getting them on the right track, you know, we're going to be a permanent working class in this society, you know, and it's sad. It is really sad. So
Some of my thoughts to that, and this is just, you know, my thoughts. I don't have, you know, the numbers in front of me or nothing like that, but I know, you know, we do have kids, you know, interested in, you know, in the science fields and stuff like that. But in my humble opinion, a lot of black children more so just interested in entertainment. You know, everybody want to be, you know, either a rapper or a dancer or, you know, or sports. You know, that's what everybody seems to go to, you know, for whatever reason. You know, and as a startup, we could have that conversation now on a whole other show, but a lot of our children don't gravitate to things that make them, in my, you know, I want to say, think, open their mind and have thoughts and ideas with science and technology. We want to be entertained.
Whoa, you know, oh, my God, you just said it, bro. That is the trick bag. That is the mind control of all mind controls. When you think about it, if you add up all the black entertainers and all the black sports players, you still talking less than 10,000 people like that are really on making money. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about less than 10,000 people out of a people who are at least 40 to 50 million strong. So the chances of us, you know, getting to that level is slim to none. So they got us in a trick bag to where we see Oprah, Jay-Z, Beyonce, the rappers. We see the sports players on TV every week. We see the luxury lifestyles. We see all this, and it gives the illusion that black people as a group are economically stable. But when you look at the numbers, the net worth of our families, you know, is not even breaking. Is not even breaking 20,000 as far as liquid. You know what I'm saying? So that is the big illusion that we have got caught up in as a society, as black society. Because you're right, a lot of people want to be rappers.
They want to be entertained.
That's what I said they gravitate to.
That, and that's what they're gravitating towards, too. Yeah, and sports players. We got parents putting our kids in sports. Yeah, the other stuff is just not. I don't think it's. I would. Yeah, it may be boring to them, but I would put the. I would put the ownership on the parents. I don't think we as a society are making it attractive enough to make it attractive to be something that they want to pursue. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I go a little deeper than that. Not only is it the parents, but it's also the attack through hip hop, the attack through the food, through chemical warfare, vaccinations, all these things attack our children's brains. You know, so I think it's even deeper than just the parents. We are under attack on all levels. So sometimes it can just be chemically, you wondering why child just don't get it. But look at, like I said, look at what we feed. Look at what, okay, going from the beginning where if a young female gets pregnant, you know, what is she putting the right type of food into her body? She eating stuff, is she eating McDonald's, Burger King, stuff like that? Is she eating natural foods that's going to help to develop her fetus in a proper manner? Then when the fetus gets her, is the fetus in the, at that time, not the fetus. When the child gets her, is the child coming up in a proper environment for its mind to develop and grow and to gravitate to something like what we're talking about? You know, so we are attacked on so many different levels, brother.
Right.
You know, that we have we have to come to the realization that that's what's going on and do something to counteract it.
To counter that, that's right. Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We got Kareem Raiju, that was just on Brother Mufasa, and I am Cosmic Kev. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And, we just got through discussing, you know, education, the teacher strike in Chicago, and that, you know, led to a broader conversation about the educational system, how it's outdated. It needs to be updated with the technology and the changing times that we see. Otherwise, you're going to see a decline, you know, in the type of innovation and things that the society produces. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we're at now. I do want to ask y'all this, just to change topics a little bit. Kanye West, our boy Kanye, that's our brother. He dropped a gospel hip-hop album this week, Jesus is King. First of all, have y'all heard the album? You and Queen.
I haven't.
Yeah,
no, I didn't know he dropped it.
Yeah, he dropped it. It was trending online, and it's labeled, the genre is Christian hip-hop. I don't think there's any cursing on there. He got Fred Hammond on there. He got Kenny G. He got some other folks on there as well. But this is
Kenny
his
G.
ninth studio album that he dropped.
Did you say
and
Kenny
you
G?
Know, Kenny G is on there.
Dang, okay.
Kenny G. And you know he been having his Sunday service. You know he been going around the country holding Sunday service. Basically taking people to church. He has now declared himself a Christian. You know, some reports came out that he's been telling his wife that he don't like when she's dressed sexy. You know, he don't want his kids wearing makeup. He's denounced hip-hop. He did an interview to where he did an interview with Big Boy out in, I believe, out in L.A., and he was asking, you know, has he turned his back on the culture? And Kanye was like, yeah, he turned his back on the culture because it just, you know, it was glorifying too much negative stuff. You know, it wasn't telling people about ownership. He was like, America's for sale. But hip-hop got you thinking you can buy all these phones and you can buy all these luxury items and, you know, this and that, but it's not teaching people about buying land. But you can go check out that interview online. He was kind of going in on some things. Some of the stuff I agree with, some of the stuff I didn't, you know what I'm saying? But what do y'all think about Kanye and his whole transformation at, you know, becoming a Christian and having these Sunday services he got going?
Y'all think about that.
Jesus walk.
Right.
Raju, you want to go in on that? You know, that's your field, our entertainment.
Well, I mean, I thought he was already a Christian just by some of the things that he would already say, you know. You know, I don't know, only because I only heard of the gospel album. The other things that Brother Kevin just spoke about, I had no idea. So I would really love to see some of those interviews myself to kind of see his energy and see what level he's on, you know, to see what's going on. Because, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with elevating and growing and changing. So I'm always, you know, okay with a person if they are changing. We all, we evolve. And we're supposed to, anyways. We're in the, you know, the, huh? What did you say?
No, I just said, there you go.
Oh, okay, yeah, because,
right.
You know, we're in the system of, I mean, we evolve. The whole world is always moving. Things may look like it's sitting still and standing still, but it's not. Nothing is still. Everything grows. So if he's growing into a particular place or area or a new way of thinking, then, hey, it's fine. I'm okay with that. I can't really say much about it because I didn't see it, and I don't know his energy, if it was something else behind it, you know, that caused him. Brother Kevin, well, I know you have a theory because I kind of saw some things already that you posted on Facebook. So you was kind of thinking that, you know, it's some other stuff. I guess you can kind of share your theory with it. But I want to see some of those interviews that you just talked about, because I didn't know. I had no idea, but I would like to see those things.
Yes, indeed. Brother Mufasa, you want to comment, and then I share, you know, I just share my theory on it.
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't have a problem with me evolving also. You know, Mr. Jesus walks. So it ain't no shocker to me that, you know, that's the path he on. Kanye is an interesting individual. You know,
yes,
and I don't have no problem with Kanye. I think he's a very artistic brother, and he don't have no problem with expressing himself. And as a piece of energy from the Creator, I don't have any problem with him expressing himself as being a part of the Creator. So let it do what he do. Kanye don't bother me. I don't think the things that Kanye do come from of malicious intent. If this was somebody else, I'd probably be questioning their motives behind what they do. But I have a feel that Kanye is a genuine person. So I take that, you know, with a grain of salt, some of the stuff he do. I don't think he's done nothing of malice or like to, you know, harm anyone. So I don't have no problem with
his
Sunday service.
Right, yes, indeed. So the interview is on Big Boy TV. I guess you can check that out on YouTube. Like I say, Kanye interviews are always interesting. You know what I'm saying? They always a little sporadic. They always a little awkward. But I just chalk that up as to him being an artist, you know, and being just somewhat socially awkward. You know what I'm saying? And I'm kind of socially awkward too at points, so I can respect that, and I dig that as him being an individual. You know what I'm saying? And I do like Kanye. You dig? I do like Kanye. I think the album, now I did hear the album. I would say sonically, as far as how it sounds, it's a good sounding album. It's not bad, you know, from what I heard. I only heard it one time. I may have to go and hear it again, but from the one time I heard it, it sounds good. Now, me, of course, I'm not a Christian, so I can't really get with all the Jesus is King talk, but I can deal with it. I can respect it from a musical standpoint, you know, if that makes sense. You know, sonically, it sounds like some old Kanye, and it sounds kind of dope, you know what I'm saying, as far as sonically. Now, my theory is the reason why Kanye is on this whole Christian thing is because I believe he sold his soul to the devil. Now, I'm going to just read a lyric from Kanye on Eyes Closed. It says, I sold my soul to the devil. That's a crappy deal. At least it came with a few toys like a Happy Meal. This game you could never win. Right? So now, I think Kanye is a smart brother. I don't think he's been the same since he had that last episode where he was in the hospital. Right? He had that episode where he was going through rehab and the drugs and all that, and he went to the hospital. Now, what I found to be very interesting was when he did the interview with Charlamagne Tha God. You know, they went to the ranch in Miami, and he flew Charlamagne out, and they did the interview. Now, two things stood out to me in that interview. One was he said out his own mouth when he was in the hospital, he felt like they were trying to kill him, right? He was like he was paranoid, and he was in the hospital, and he was like they was trying to kill him, and, you know, he just felt like someone right, and he wanted to get some real people around him. The second thing was when Charlamagne asked him, well, do you trust your wife and her family? And he was like, it got kind of awkward. Again, he was like, oh, you know, I don't want to get nobody upset. It just was a real awkward interview. Go back and listen to that interview if it's still up online. He basically was like, yeah, I do and I don't from what I got. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we could talk about the Kardashians. We could talk about, remember, Kanye is an icon, right? Kanye is an icon. How many black icons have we seen die or, you know, be killed under suspicious circumstances? Like, we can go all the way back to Sam Cooke, like, you know, Michael Jackson, Prince, even Biggie, Tupac. Like, the list goes on and on. You can just watch, you know, an episode of Unsung and see how many black icons have died under mysterious circumstances. I think Kanye is aware of that. I think Kanye is big beyond belief. He knows this. Again, he's on icon status. Hollywood is a different game, right? Hollywood, they play different. The rules are different. And, you know, once you get in there and make a deal, you have to abide by those rules, right? And I think Kanye is kind of in over his head, and him putting out this album is just another way for him to fulfill his deal with the devil. Because think about it. What keeps the devil name alive is Christianity as well. Right, so the devil has a vested interest in religion being promoted to the people. Why? Because if you're worshiping Jesus, God, or whoever, basically the organized religions, you're also countering the devil, right? Because that's the counterpart. So the devil, that keeps the devil name alive as well. So unbeknownst to Kanye, he's keeping his deal with the devil by keeping the masses asleep, by keeping them under the spell of religion and Jesus. Now, for me, like I say, this is just my opinion and my theory. I think this is part of his deal, and he wants to keep people under the spell of religion. And because the powers that be, like we always say, religion has been used as a control tactic. So this is part of Kanye's deal to keep people under the spell of religion, under the guy, you know, under being controlled, under these type of things in order to keep the agenda going. And this is all part of that agenda. And he's fulfilling what he has to do because he feels like there's no other way. He feels like, to me, from what I see, again, on the outside looking in, he think that these people, once he gets too big, they may try to kill him. They may try to take him out. You know, whether it's a car accident, whether it's, you know, he found in a hotel room laid up, or any type of freak accident, anything that these people are capable of that we've seen that they can do to an icon just to make him bigger, because we know you sell more records when you die anyway. So I think Kanye is kind of paranoid. He's kind of in over his head, and he just wants to really be in a safe place, and doesn't – he wants to renege on his deal with the devil. So I think this album is a way of him feeling like he's protecting himself from the devil by declaring that Jesus is king. You know,
damn, brother,
again,
Kev, that's
my theory.
Some,
you know,
some heavy statements there, brother.
Yeah, that's just my theory from the outside looking in. That's the spirit talking to me. I'm just saying what I see. But I think Kanye is a good brother. I think, you know, he's hella talented. He's on to something. And I wish that brother the best. And, you know, I hope that he's safe out there, because he is playing in a dangerous game, and he's larger than life at this point. And we know what happens to larger than life icons, right? You know.
Yeah, we're going to chop it up off our own that one, or either do a full one next week, because, that's a lot to unpack right there. I want to share something with you really quick that I just saw this. And y'all give me y'all quick responses. I just read this. Probably. I just read this on the St. Louis news app that I got out of St. Louis County. St. Louis County Police Sergeant awarded $19 million in discrimination lawsuit. You hadn't heard nothing about that, had you?
One more time. Say that one more time.
St. Louis County Police Sergeant awarded $19 million in a discrimination lawsuit.
Whoa.
Now, let me read the details to you right quick. Check this out, because it's going to tie into some other stuff we've been talking about. On Friday, a St. Louis County jury awarded $19 million to a St. Louis County Police Sergeant who said the department repeatedly passed him over for promotions because he is gay. Sergeant Keith Wildhaber filed a against the St. Louis County Police Department in 2017, in which he claims he was told he should tone down his gayness if he ever wanted to be promoted to lieutenant.
Wow.
What? $19 million?
So he got awarded this? So he did get awarded this?
On Friday, he was awarded $19 million.
Are they kidding me?
$19 million against, St. Louis County Police Department in 2017, which he claims he was told he should tone down his gayness if he ever wanted to be promoted to lieutenant. While Haber has worked for the police department since 1994, the lawsuit details dozens of times where Wild Haber was passed over for promotion despite positive feedback about his work performance.
$19 million. Oh, yes, I pulled up. I see. They asked him to tone down his gayness.
See that? I don't even know if you want to go into this, but, you know, like we was talking about the whole LGBTQ stuff, and we've been having these conversations about about how, this gay agenda is $19 million.
Now, that's just, he gets 19 for what? Like, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the article.
Let's say
he was awarded $1.9 million in actual damages, $10 million in punitive damages for discrimination, and $990,000 in actual damages, and $7 million. Wow.
Because they told him to tone down his gayness. That boy got paid.
Got paid.
See?
That is crazy.
I just say, man, I just wanted to throw that to let you know what I saw, because there's so much I want to say into this that will spark off us getting into a whole deep conversation, tied into what we talked about before about LGBTQ stuff. But I just came, I mean, $19 million for that. These people, they get discriminated for things a whole lot worse. You ain't getting nowhere near that type of money.
Man, there's people that's been shot by the St. Louis County Police that ain't got that kind of money.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious?
They gay agenda, boy. Do not cross. Do not cross them gay folks.
They got to watch my mouth.
I have to watch my mouth. You know, I don't try to offend no one out there. But...
yeah, I mean, that's interesting, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's very interesting that he was actually awarded that amount of money.
Yeah, we dive into this tomorrow off air or something.
Yeah. So that's, wow, I don't know what else to say. But, again, I'm not surprised. This is where we at. You know what I'm saying? I'm currently trying to figure out how I could get a flight to another planet. If anybody know a travel agency or anything where I can go to another planet, because this is ridiculous. Like, I can't take it. I don't want to be a part of this. You dig what I'm saying? So, yeah, I don't know what else to say, man. You dig? But, yeah, this Collective Minds, we coming down to the last 10 minutes of the show. This has been an open discussion week. We've been talking about a lot of things that's been going on within the news, the education, the teacher strike. You know, we talked about the homicide rate in St. Louis. So, yeah, I'm thinking we might be under 200 homicides for the city. You know what I'm saying? We need about 36 more homicides between now and the end of the year to hit over 200. So, you know, hopefully it stays below that. You know, we had 160. Where we at? We at 164 right now. So, you know, hopefully we can stay
November,
below that.
December?
Yeah, we got November and December. Now, December should be slow because it is a holiday month. It's cold. You know, so hopefully the killers ain't out. Hopefully the killers take a break. You dig what I'm saying? So, and if it stay below 186, because it was 186 homicides last year. So anything below that would be a lower amount. And that's for St. Louis City. That doesn't include the county. We know, you know, if we add the county in, it's probably higher than that. But that's where we at in the city. So, you know, we'll see how this plays out.
All right, one more thing before I sign off. I wanted to say rest in peace to Tatiana Jefferson, the young black lady who was shot inside her home in Fort Worth, Texas, by the police officer, just shot her through a window. And prayers got to her and her family, and hope that her family can get some justice behind it. Because the cop who did it was definitely a murderer, and we need to follow that case as well closely to see what the outcome of that is.
Yes, indeed. That's big facts on that. And, you know, love and light to her family. Now, I did see that her father came out. If we can touch on this real quick. Her father came out because the family was actually her aunt, who I had heard had raised her for a time, but her biological father has also been in her life. And he actually had an insurance policy on her. And the other family, the mother's sister, the aunt, had put up a GoFundMe and was trying to raise money. Now, the father came out and said he didn't really need the GoFundMe. He was like, we going to take care of it. You know, it ain't going to be no hugs this time. He's focused on justice. So I want to salute, you know, her father for coming out and being a stand-up man, basically saying, look, we want justice. You dig what I'm saying?
That's
you hear my daughter? Justice is first and foremost. You know, if you want to cut the bag, which, you know, that's a settlement amount or whatever, do that. But we focused on justice, which is how it should be, which is punishing that race soldier. So, you know, love and light to the family. And we going to keep an eye on it. And, you know, hopefully he gets, hopefully he gets punished for this, you know. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. Yeah, so thank you, family, the callers. I'm going to let Queen Rigel wrap us up, but I just want to say on my end, thank you to the callers and supporters. We appreciate y'all, and, you know, we'll see y'all in the upcoming weeks.
Yes.
You want to want the last words, Mufasa, before Rigel wrap us up, or y'all can have it.
Go ahead. Just enjoyed the conversation as always, fam.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, sorry we didn't get a chance to get all the callers in, so apologize about that. But we always still thank you for your support. Thank you for tuning in. We ask that you continue to support us and tune in each and every Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, for some more good shows and great topics. Once again, we always ask if you have any show idea topics that you want us to discuss or just run by us, please feel free to email us at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Or you can always follow us or send us a message on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, you know, social media outlets. And we appreciate everybody again. This was a good show.
We're
going to
work hard
with
our social
media.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We got to get on that. That social media is a big part. So,
you guys heard it from them. You guys heard it from them. So we should be seeing something different soon. You heard it straight from the horse's mouth, both of them. I don't have to say anything, but this is a good show, and we have some more good shows coming up. I have a few things that I'm working on, so hopefully we have some things coming down the pipeline real soon for you guys. You know, we like to keep everybody interactive with different guests and, you know, trying to provide special guests for you guys and good topics. So once again, just thanks for tuning in, and thanks for the support. Peace.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking. They thought.